This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to talk about something extremely topical because I've called it, and I'm not unique in saying this. I think that the nutraceutical of the year and perhaps of the decade in terms of nutritional breakthroughs on the supplement market and in the retail marketplace is going to be cannabinoids. Among the cannabinoids are CBD, but CBD is not the whole story, according to today's guest. He's my good colleague, Carl Germano. Carl has graced our airways several times in the past. He's led us in some great discussions about osteoporosis because he's written a book that was written in 1999 originally, but it's been updated. And it's a really revolutionary approach to preventing and reversing osteoporosis called the Osteoporosis Solution. In that book, Carl introduced a nutrient that we still really like to use today, Ipraflavone. And we'll talk more about that. Also, he wrote a book entitled The Misled Athlete. It kind of demystified the world of supplementation for athletes. There's a lot of hype out there. That's a great book. The Brain Wellness Plan, which he wrote with Jay Lombard, and Nature's Painkillers and many other books. He's got a bunch of initials. He's an RD, a CNS, a CDN. He's got a master's degree in nutrition. He consults with patients, but also with industry. He is currently vice president of Verdant Oasis. That is a supplier of very high quality hemp oil products. And so, welcome. It's great having an old friend back on Intelligent Medicine, Carl.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. It's a pleasure to be here, and I really cherish our friendship. And again, it's good to speak about something I know you've mentioned that this is the nutrient of the decade or more. And I can tell you that in my 35 years in product development for the dietary supplement industry, phytocannabinoids as a class of compounds, I can tell you that there is absolutely nothing in our industry that comes close to the clinical relevancy of these compounds since the inception of this industry. And by the end of this podcast, I think people will get to understand and appreciate this bold statement that I have made. We are just at the tip of the iceberg of unraveling some of the most important, well, the most important botanical on this planet and some of the most important compounds in it that affect our health as well as in treatment for disease.
So explain the basis for this, because it turns out that just as the body has an endorphin system, we make our own opiates to help us deal with the pain and to lift our mood. We also have an endocannabinoid system. So it's very interesting that a plant-derived substance, kind of like lock and key, fits into our normal physiology and can sort of support and augment it. Can you explain?
Sure. And for everyone to understand what we're about to talk about, we're right in the middle of the perfect storm. The perfect storm involves two travesties and tragedies in my eye that are occurring at the same time. One, a botanical travesty about how industrial hemp, not marijuana, I'll tell you the difference in a second, has been treated. And also the medical travesty about how the endocannabinoid system in the body has been ignored since the 1990s. They're both colliding right now to give rise to somewhat of the Big Bang in nutritional medicine. The endocannabinoid system was discovered in a very important decade in the 1990s. Rafael Mashalem out of Hebrew University in Jerusalem, his colleagues at the National Institutes of Health and of Mental Health here in the U.S.
By the way, just an interesting note, excuse me, is that Israel, researchers in Israel have really been pioneers in this field. So I guess you've done some lively commuting between here and Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in pursuit of information about this, right?
Well, you're right about Israel being a leader. And quite frankly, thank God for Israel and thank God for Europe, who have been light years ahead of this country, who has just treated the plant and its active compounds just horribly, as well as the fact that they have systematically misled the consumer for over 70 years about hemp and its actual benefits to the body. But this discovery of the endocannabinoid system is quite remarkable. It's probably one of the most important medical discoveries in quite some time. What is it all about? Well, the endocannabinoid system is a massive series of receptors all over the brain, gut, immune system, every single organ, including your skin. So the first question you have to ask yourself, with all these receptors touching every organ system, controlling every physiological function, the body must be making something to influence and touch them. And the answer in the late 1990s was also not just the discovery of the receptors, but the discovery that we produce two cannabinoids that we have identified so far, one called anandamide, from the Sanskrit word ananda, meaning bliss. Mm-hmm. And the other, AG, or
that's amazing that there's that they've named a substance after this Sanskrit term ananda. Yep. You know, like there are gurus in India, popular here and have with many followers, whose names are like Sachinanda, which means
bliss. And rightfully so. I mean, when we look at what anandamide does and how it hits the receptors that are above and beyond endorphins, because when people think if runner's high has to do with endorphins, well, they're thinking wrong, because it's really our endocannabinoids. But what I was about to say is that anandamide and the other one is called 2-AG, or 2-arachidonyl glycerol. These are two compounds. They're called cannabinoids because they look very much like cannabinoids as found in cannabis. So the first thing I tell the whole world, get over it. We produce cannabinoids similar to cannabinoids in cannabis. We feed off them. We cannot be healthy without them. And when we don't produce enough, this endocannabinoid deficiency states exist. And it's in the literature. Migraines, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammatory and neurological conditions are all conditions where we don't produce enough of this anandamide and 2-AG, and illness occurs. So this endocannabinoid system is just a remarkable system affecting all physiological functions. And when you look at some of the data that's produced about how it touches movement, memory, coordination in the body, bronchodilation in the lung, intraocular pressure in the eye, immunity, inflammatory cycling in the cell, pain signaling to the brain, insulin sensitivity, neurotransmission, the list goes on and on and on, with the understanding that the endocannabinoid system is the master controller of all physiological functions in the body. And so at this point, when we look at the effects at the cellular level or at the organ level are one thing, then we look at the fact that finally, in 2007, the American Journal of Medicine, how we got to understand what is this endocannabinoid system all about from a global perspective. Why does it exist in the body as a whole entity? And the answer to this is quite simple. The endocannabinoid system controls homeostasis, balance, well-being. You cannot be healthy unless this system is being nourished properly. And so some people look at it as a system of recovery, which has both clinical and athletic applications to it. Others just look at it as a system of as an adaptogenic system, and that it helps to control the body's natural response to pain, inflammation, disease, stress, anxiety, all these other noxious things that really give rise to bad things that happen in the body. And so globally, to maintain homeostasis, and then at the organ level, every physiological function you can imagine, the endocannabinoid system is influencing it in some way, shape, or form.
Carl, can I interject for just a moment? Because the pharmaceutical industry came up with a brilliant idea in the 1990s. They developed drugs that were blockers of the endocannabinoid system on the theory that, you know, you've seen the Cheech and Chong movies and everybody knows about munchies. And they thought this would be an ideal diet pill because it blocks the munchies. So they rolled out these drugs. So one of them was called Rimonabant, and it was supposed to be, you know, this billion-dollar diet drug. It was going to be a bonanza for the pharmaceutical industry. And so what happened when they blocked the endocannabinoid system? Because I think it's instructive. You know, you talk about all the benefits, but what happens when you actually dial it down? Pretty catastrophic, right?
Yeah, including suicide and death. That was a very short-lived drug and a very short-lived myopic attempt to trying to control a physiological system that controls all others, and so they failed horribly. Nevertheless, this is really a very hot area in pharmaceutical sector. We know that GW Pharmaceuticals has two drugs out on the marketplace that contain one of over 100 different phytocannabinoids in it, and we're talking about CBD. Mm-hmm. And CBD is in Sativex and Epidiolex of GW Pharmaceuticals, but again, very myopic in their thinking as well.
So it's a narrow channel thing, and that's, I think, what the pharmaceutical industry does. You know, originally, statins were Reggie's rice, you know, with a whole panoply of ingredients. And what they did is they chemically identified and extracted the so-called active ingredient and left all the others out, and they came up with this whole new generation of statin drugs. So you can break down hemp-derived products, and you can say, okay, it's the CBD, or it's this, or it's that. But, you know, this is actually the first time we've mentioned the word CBD. It's very interesting. We've had this discussion, you know, we've been going on for about 10 or 12 minutes. And so a lot of companies make what they term is CBD, and that's what people, you know, that's the buzzword these days. But it's your contention that it's not just about CBD, right?
Now, I first of all, it was very ill-conceived. The messaging that has come out over the past 2-3 years, companies who focused on the single magic bullet, CBD, understand that in hemp and marijuana, there are well over 100 different phytocannabinoids. And there is a distinct difference between hemp and marijuana. Marijuana has been cultivated for its primary phytocannabinoid THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is psychoactive. It certainly has medical value, but it's psychoactive, recreational value, you name it. And that's still a Schedule I drug, and we're going to put that to the side. The phytocannabinoids that are not psychoactive, that are coming into the health food trade and practitioner marketplace, are the non-psychoactive family. There are well over 100 of them. The most dominant of all the non-psychoactive phytocannabinoids in hemp is CBD. So everybody focused on this dominant cannabinoid, and everybody felt that they would follow the coattails of GW Pharmaceuticals. We know, those of us in botanical medicine, those of us in the health food trade, those of us in functional medicine, all know well too well that any single magic bullet, especially in plants, doesn't compare in one way, shape, or form to the collective of synergistic compounds as found in the botanical. I make the case that when you go to the health food stores, you don't buy ginseng with one ginsenoside in it, or echinacea with one echinaceocyte in it, or curcumin with one curcuminoid in it. There are a family of these compounds found in these plants, no different with hemp. And so those of us that are telling a more important story are telling a story about the whole class of compounds called phytocannabinoids. Is CBD in there? Yes, we know it. Got it. We understand. But that is just the tip of the iceberg, because all of these other phytocannabinoids, while they are in the plant minor in number, are not minor in their effects in the body. And there was a beautiful article written in the British Journal of Pharmacology by Dr. Ethan Russo about the entourage effect of having all the phytocannabinoids present to give rise to the most meaningful clinical benefits to the body. And then we look at studies going up against GW Pharmaceuticals, Sativex, single magic bullet CBD with THC, and those who vaporize. And in the vaporized group, the clinical outcome was always superior, because when you vaporize, you're getting in the full family. And so, again, those companies who have been talking about CBD and continue to do so, it is incredibly myopic. It is doing an injustice not only to the plant, but an injustice to the consumers out there, giving them only a small view and portion of the real story, which is about phytocannabinoids nourishing the most important story, which is your endocannabinoid system.
Okay, folks, now let's pause and allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. So please listen up. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Carl Germano. You know, there are many aspects of this, but I think one of the most fascinating aspects of this is pain. And, you know, frankly, our armamentarium against pain in natural medicine is kind of limited. Yeah, we can give people fish oil and curcumin and natural anti-inflammatories, and you gradually, you know, their pain will subside. But it's not fast-acting, it's not sustained, the pain relief is moderate. Let's face it. Let's be realistic about it. But, you know, I was reading, I have a passion for reading historical fiction, and I was reading a novel about the Middle Ages, actually the Dark Ages. The period was in the 12th century. And it was historical fiction, but it was an account of what a nun did, because nuns were entrusted with the care of patients in those days. When a child was brought to her who received severe burns, just agonizing burns. And so her first decision was, you know, they knew about poppies then. Poppies, you know, you derive opium from poppies, but they felt that was too strong for a child, the potential to, you know, actually cause the child to have respiratory arrest. So what was the alternative? And this is in a novel written well before this current explosion of interest in CBD and hemp oil and natural cannabinoids. What was the answer? Hemp oil derivative was given to this child. So, you know, I can send you the passage from the novel. I found it fascinating that this has been known for centuries and centuries as part of folk medicine.
Oh, absolutely. Ayurvedic medicine, the use of hemp or cannabis, let's face it, hemp, marijuana, it's all same genus and species, cannabis sativa. Cannabis has been used for thousands and thousands of years. Quite frankly, in this country, our forefathers grew it. Washington, Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence was written on paper made with hemp. Jay Leno, last year on his car show had a car whose shell was entirely made from hemp nanosphere sheets. So, you know, as an agricultural crop, this crop will blow away any other. And when you look at socio-political history behind hemp, why did it get dumped into the definition of marijuana? Well, for several reasons. The powers that be back then, 70 years ago, that controlled cotton and wheat, the prime cash crops, they were threatened by hemp. When you look at the insanity behind the Controlled Substances Act signed by Nixon a while back, where he blamed African Americans, hippies, Jewish psychiatrists. It was complete insanity to continue to put the stranglehold on this plant in the way they treated it, along with LSD and heroin as a Schedule One. So you talk about historical. This is a great historical read from a socio-political standpoint of the tragedy and the misrepresentation and the misleading that this country has gone through over the past 70 years with regards to cannabis. And back then, even Park Davis had drugs with cannabis oil used for rheumatism and what have you.
Yeah.
So it was
the so-called patent medicine era.
Absolutely.
Another personal anecdote is my personal trainer, who's an extraordinary athlete, martial arts expert, bodybuilder extraordinaire, can squat 500 or 600 pounds, bench press well over 300 pounds, developed an extremely debilitating back problem. I saw him and his whole demeanor was changed. He looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. He just was in extreme pain. And so I said, well, get checked out, absolutely get an MRI, do all the right stuff, make sure you don't have, something that requires surgery. But above all, avoid back surgery unless it's absolutely necessary. And I said, try some CBD. And he was reluctant because he works for the YMCA. And he said, well, they drug test us. And I said, look, first of all, the amount of THC in there is minuscule. And second, you have a bona fide pain syndrome. And I'll vouch for you as a physician that this is something that is beneficial for you. So long story short, it took him a while, but he checked with the administration there. They said it was permissible to use CBD because it's legal. It's over the counter. I saw him just this week. And he thanked me profusely, and his whole demeanor was changed. And he said, since I've been using the CBD, he says he gets the same benefits as he did with codeine. He was given codeine, but it was completely logy with the codeine. It was a central nervous system depressant, and it's an opiate, and it's addictive. He says he gets the same benefits, but with a clear head, and he is just ecstatic. I mean, that to me was really the acid test, because we're not talking about a little minor, slight, minor aches and pains, like we all suffer from, but just a debilitating back problem.
All right. And for the audience to understand what you just said and the outcome, the clinical outcome from what he was able to achieve, you have to understand that the endocannabinoid system is an integral player in inflammation. So while curcumin, quercetin, boswellia, fish oils, on and on, all have important roles within the pathways of inflammation, it is your endocannabinoid system that controls those pathways. And so while CBD is very helpful and I'm all for it, again, I don't want to be myopic here. There's another cannabinoid that we produce that we blend in for our clients called beta-caryophyllene. Beta-caryophyllene, or BC, is another phytocannabinoid in hemp, but it's one of the minor ones. But we do find it elevated in higher amounts in things like clove and black pepper seeds and we can pull it out from these particular other plants and use it together with CBD. Quite frankly, this is the best approach because CBD does not attach to the cannabinoid receptors in the body. It does many, many important things, but it doesn't do that. Whereas beta-caryophyllene attaches especially to the CB2 receptors. Why are they important when it comes to inflammation? Because they control inflammatory signaling in the cell and nociceptive pain signaling to the brain. And so it's like a 1-2 punch when you have more players there that are doing different things in the body. And I always recommend that combination for people in pain. But again, to understand why it's so important is because your endocannabinoid system controls the inflammatory pathways that that exist in the body. And so it makes sense that he has obviously responded very well. Good for him.
Yes, it was really quite impressive. Okay, great. We've really laid the groundwork for our discussion at part two, where I want to get into some particulars. I want to talk about some of the conditions for which CBD may be beneficial, the full range of possibilities, also the many dosing forms. You can take it in capsules, you can take it in tinctures, you can even apply it topically to your skin. And for some people who are comfortable with this, they can vape it. They can put it in a vaping pen. You know, you see these millennials walking around, puffing out big clouds of smoke from their devices. But if you load one of those pens with hemp oil, it's one of the ways that you can get it into your system. Which is the best way? Which is the most cost-effective way? We'll talk about that in just a moment with today's guest. Carl Germano, who's vice president of Verdant Oasis. It's a hemp oil company that supplies a very high quality type of hemp oil to many companies that are out there. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.